Please turn to Proverbs chapter 30 as we confess our sins this morning. We'll look at Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9. And before we read that proverb, I want to remind you that as we confess our sins each week, we ask for the Lord's grace to help us walk in newness of life. And Romans 6 describes how Christ has been raised from the dead, and we are also raised from the dead with him. This is what Romans 6:4 says. It says, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So when we come each week here to confess our sins, we confess those things that are not newness of life, that are the old man, the sinful flesh that we want to have nothing to do with anymore, and we ask God to help us walk in newness of life. So let's look now at Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 through 9 this morning. Here's the word of God for us. "Two things I request of you, deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you, and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." This is God's word. So as we confess our sins this morning, I wanted to look at this particular prayer of Agur recorded in Proverbs 30, and in particular the section of verse 8 where he says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches." This is his petition to the Lord. This prayer contains much wisdom for us, and it's important for our confession of sin this morning as well. It's a prayer that focuses upon God's provision of wealth and possessions in this life, and how we view them, and how much we have of them. And notice he says, "Don't give me poverty, don't give me riches, give me what I need. Give me the food allotted to me. What you've ordained for me to have. That's what I want." He really wants to walk the middle road. He doesn't want to be too rich. He doesn't want to be too poor, because they both come with temptations. He wants this path of the middle road where God gives him just what he needs. Not any more, not any less. For each of us, the food allotted to us is going to look a little bit different. God in his wisdom apportions wealth and provisions differently based on our needs, based on our calling. And so our prayer is that God would give us what we need. Not maybe what we want, but what we need. Now I realized as I looked at this prayer that one part of this prayer is quite familiar to us. The part where Agur says, "Give me not poverty." How many of us pray for the daily bread that we need, right? That's a given. We can all relate to this prayer, "Do not make me poor, Lord." But then to pray against riches? Really? Don't make me rich? Apparently, Agur is not up to speed with a lot of the Christian bestsellers abroad today. He hasn't read those. He's not aware of this false gospel that says you're supposed to be as wealthy as possible and as healthy as possible, when in fact the Lord gives different things to different people. Yes, indeed, the Lord does bless us with wealth and riches, and he gives us different amounts. He gives us often far more than we need, and he's gracious to us. But we must recognize that God in his wisdom gives each of us what we need, and that's what we want to pray for. Give me what I need. Don't give me anything that would tempt me to deny you, Lord. Don't give me less than I need as well. Give me what I need. Give me the food allotted to me. So both of these temptations, you'll note, are questions of our relationship to God. Because he says, being too rich would make me forget you, Lord. Being too poor would make me steal, and then I'd profane your name. They're both a question of, how do we view God? Is God our chief and ultimate treasure? Or are the things of this fallen world more impressive, more desirable to us than God himself? So let's look at both of these temptations. Let's begin with the temptation of wealth. Having an abundance comes with temptations. In fact, Israel fell prey to this when they began to forget God, forget who had given them all these things. This is described for us in the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32. So you can look at that verse, Deuteronomy 32, verse 15. This is describing how Israel had turned against the Lord. The Lord had given them so much. He had brought them out of Egypt. He had fed them in the wilderness. And even with those things, they were tempted to forget God. This is Deuteronomy 32:15. I love how the New King James translate this. I'm sure you'll appreciate this description. But Jeshurun, that's Israel, Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, you grew thick, you are obese. Then he forsook God who made him and scornfully esteemed the God, the rock of his salvation. They had grown fat. They had more than they needed even. They were in dealing with an abundance and they forgot God. They forgot the rock of their salvation that had given them all these things. We ourselves can be tempted, brothers and sisters, to rely upon our wealth for our salvation and to think that this is all that we need. This is all we need to be happy. This is all we need to be healthy. And we set our sights so low when we look at things that way because we look at the next 80 years of our life, if God gives us that many years to live, and we think, that's all I need. What happens on the day of judgment? And in our Western context of America, do you think our abundance of wealth affects us? Does it affect us in some way as we live in this world? I think it does. We need to be aware of how it affects us. Does our abundance of wealth affect our faith, our reliance upon God? Do we really sense where our daily bread comes from, or do we take our daily bread for granted? Does our abundance increase our gratitude or diminish it? That's a hard question. The answer should be that our abundance gives us all the more reason to be thankful. But it sometimes doesn't. Sometimes our hearts are too taken up with these things that God has given and not taken up with God. And Agur, of course, is not condemning all riches. He's asking for what is needful for him. He's worried about his own heart, as we all should be. He's concerned that his heart will be led astray to forget God. And he says, don't give me any more than I need, lest I forget you. If there's going to be another dollar, and I'm going to move over here to trust these riches, don't give it to me. Not another dollar. We must not forget the God of our salvation, who has given us all these things. So that's the first temptation. There's also the temptation of poverty. He says, if I'm poor, I may be tempted to steal, and then I would profane your name by breaking your commandments. Now, these days, we have a welfare system that allows a legal form of stealing known as the redistribution of wealth. But it is stealing nonetheless. This kind of stealing is sanctioned by the government and condoned, endorsed, and supported. But it's still stealing according to God's law. It makes it a lot easier, right? You don't think that you're profaning God's name to be a participant in this system. But to take the possessions of others that have worked for these things, and to give it to another is the biblical definition of stealing. But the basic point that Agur makes is that poverty can tempt us to covet. Coveting leads to stealing, right? If you covet something, you may go and steal it. And so the fundamental heart issue, he's saying, is that if I am poor, I'm going to be tempted to covetousness. On one hand, I can forget you because I have too much. On another hand, I can covet wealth and value wealth on the other side of these things as well. And so these are the two temptations that we face. Either one leads us to forget God or to blaspheme God. And so Agur isn't just praying to be a middle class Israelite. It's not as simple as, give me the exact middle average of all income and I'll be safe. No, it's a heart issue, isn't it? It's always a heart issue. Wherever our income levels are, it's a matter of our hearts. The more basic question is, are we walking in communion with God, loving him, serving him, glorifying him with what we have, or are we on the path to profane his name and forget what he's given us? Is God our treasure on this earth, or do we treasure these broken pottery Do we look at this broken, cracked pottery of this fallen world and just worship it? Why would that impress you? So this morning, then, we need to each consider the unique temptations of wealth and poverty. We all face these temptations. We can confess our temptation to forget God, to not be grateful, to ignore the provider. Let us also confess our temptation to envy the situations of others. And let us pray for contentment. This is what Agur is asking for, contentment. Feed me with the food allotted to me. Lord, make us content with the food that you've allotted. However little, however much, give us contentment in whatever situation you have placed us, that we would look to God, the provider. So this morning, as we confess our sins, we receive God's forgiveness in Christ. This has been granted to us through the blood of Jesus Christ. He has died, he has risen again, and because of that, we can be sure that as we bring these things to him, that we will be forgiven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, asking for your forgiveness. We confess that our hearts have been drawn to treasure the things of this life. We've grown fat and then forgotten where these things have come from. And at other times, we've been tempted to covet and envy that which you've given to others. Forgive us for these things, Lord. Give us contentment to be grateful with what you have allotted to us. Help us to guard our hearts from idols. Unite our hearts to love you above all other things. Help us to pray and to live this prayer of Agur in Proverbs, that we would desire neither great wealth nor poverty, but that we would be fed with what only those things that we need. We take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.